Okay, hi everyone. Welcome back to the Safe Spend Invest podcast. This is your host, Spooky Smart. And today I am joined with Oyin Adebayo, who is the founder of Neo Enterprise, founder extraordinaire, if I do say so myself. She's an investor and she's into beauty, tech and economic empowerment, which I love. And today we're really going to get into something that a lot of people want to find out more information about, and I think Oyin is a great person to talk to around the subject. So we're going to talk all things building wealth in your 20s. So Oyin, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to have this conversation. I am a fan of Safe Spend Invest from the beginning, literally. Yeah. So really honored to be here. So thank you, Bookie, for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. So I want to take it a step back and think about how you grew up and how that has maybe, you know, played a part in terms of, yeah, just where you are today and contributing to your story and building wealth and in building your business. And I know that you have a couple of different things as well that you do. So let's talk a little bit about your background.
Absolutely. So my name is Oyin Adebayo, and I essentially grew up in Nigeria till I was 13 and moved to the UK. I went to a boarding school in Nigeria called Lyford International School. And when I moved to the UK, it was a massive culture shock because it was a whole different ball game. With everyone in my school being black and then suddenly coming to a school where everyone's white, that was a massive difference. That's essentially kind of like my background. I think that whenever I tell kind of the story of like my childhood, it's probably one of intentionality from my parents. My parents saw the potential in me and wanted to nurture that really well. So they invested a lot in my education. Mm-hmm. They invested a lot in my in me, essentially. And so that had its pros and its cons, and it had its positive effects and also its pressures as well. So yeah, that's me a little bit. I'd love to kind of explore more about, you know, what it is about my childhood that wants to be known, because I can share more.
Yeah, I definitely want to understand, you know, from your perspective, was money a theme that you thought about? Was it, you know, either in Nigeria or when you got to the UK, where you started thinking a little bit more about things are really different here, the economic, you know, shift as well from going to a country that is developing to a country that's developed. How did that maybe influence your mindset in terms of, oh, okay, maybe there's a chance in the UK here for me to do something really different in my life, maybe different to what you see, you know, you saw your parents go through or how you grew up? That's what I want to understand a bit more about.
Yeah, so my dad, God bless his soul, right, never made it seem like money would be a problem for us to have as long as we had the right mindset. But he was very, very clear with us about his own journey to getting money. He told us about how he, didn't wear shoes to school, how he had to walk to school with no shoes, and how he had to essentially pay his way through school. But then I think back now and how my granddad had lots of assets like cocoa farms that could have generated money, but for some reason they were poor. I don't know, I still find that really weird to kind of wrap my head around. So essentially we had a lot of like lessons about mindset, and how mindset was important. There was, but as you know, as much as we had that, I also realized that there were barriers that we faced, even though my dad really, really harbored on having the right mindset, there was barriers of actually the system that we lived in, not allowing us to advance, in the way that we would like to advance. So there had to be something done about it. So although money wasn't a problem, money was also a problem at some points of our lives, because money was the thing that got us to from point A to point B.
Right.
We knew that we could get it,
yeah,
but it was hard to get it, and so it took a toll on our mental health and how we saw access. So all of that really made me really passionate about understanding the nuances of poverty. You know, sometimes when we think about poverty, we think about absolute poverty, mm-hmm. in the sense that you can't eat, you can't drink, you know, you can't afford to have your 3 square meals. But actually, we've really talking off about relative poverty, and how mindset affects poverty sometimes. So I did a lot of research into poverty at university and my master's, and yeah, it's kind of led us to where we're at right now at NEO.
Amazing. So was it in that research time that you maybe started thinking about creating a business as a wealth strategy, or was NEO more so like a passion project that then ended up being the business that it is today?
It started as a passion project, and my business mentor quickly told us that it couldn't be a charity, because I was good. Like, when I think about it, like, we would actually build a charity.
Right.
When I look back at the documentation, I'm just like, no, you were building a charity. And then my business coach was like, well, if you want this to help as many people as you would like, you kind of need to make some money.
Mm.
So my goal was not to make money, actually, funny enough. Although I kind of had it in the back of my mind that I needed to be rich somehow if I wanted to get, I had it in the back of my mind, but I didn't think that NEO was going to be that tool that was going to make me rich or would, yeah, essentially. So that's kind of,
that's interesting. How it started. So it started as a passion project in uni. At what point did you see yourself then doing this full time, or did you ever go into employment and then we're still running this on the side, or did you sort of come out straight from uni and was like, yeah, this is it, this is my full-time job?
It just happened, honestly, and I think this is where my faith as a Christian comes in. Everything in NEO is God ordained. Nothing is because I thought about it and we're doing it. It's actually God ordained. And I planned to become a full-time economist after graduating and doing a development economics degree. In fact, I was already applying for roles in like massive companies, you know, and for some reason it wasn't just feeling right. By that point when I was applying, it wasn't like NEO was in a good place anyway. Like, we were actually probably in the worst place, and also in the worst place for me. And I had specific instructions from God, and those instructions managed to turn things around quite disruptively, actually. And I had no choice than to just take on that responsibility about the disruption that had happened. And yeah, we're here. So I didn't plan, but we're here.
No, it's really good. And, you know, it's definitely inspiring to see something that you take from being just an idea, because I remember when I very, you know, heard about NEO from the very beginning, and I saw you guys doing your thing, and I was like, this is so cool. But I think it's even cooler to have staying power, and that's something that a lot of people in our generation struggle with, because ideas are cheaper by the dozen, you know. Everybody has an idea to do something, and it's very, as much as people think the biggest thing is just starting, the biggest thing is actually continuing. So I want to talk about how you've built NEO over the last couple of years. What were some of the things that you maybe thought about it differently, because one, as you said, God was a very big part of that strategy, but at the same time, you know, you having a really good business mind, and you talked a little bit about, you know, alluding to a business coach. So how have those sort of different elements been part of that journey in building NEO to where it is today?
So if we start from God, right, I'm a Christian through and through. I believe so strongly that everything I do has to come from the source of my creator, because I'm not the one that made myself, type of thing. So most things that I do comes from a place of prayer. And when I was praying, I pray about a lot of things, and I just had specific things to focus on, you know, specific Bible scriptures to focus on, and then I allowed that to use as a strategy in building my business. For example, I knew that NEO was going to be an ecosystem of companies that empowered people to have the right spirit, to have the right attitude, to have the right knowledge, the right skills, and all manner of wisdom for them to be able to build products that will change the face of culture. And you can see that in like Exodus chapter 31 verse 3, when Bezalel and Aholiab were people who were asked to build those things. So that's what I was very convicted that that was what I was called to do, I guess, you know. So starting from there, I knew that that was the journey that I had to go down. And so a lot of that informs the fact that everything that we do has to be from innovation.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do things innovatively, and we have to do things with the right spirit and the right attitude. We don't just do things to make money. We do things that to actually build an ecosystem that would impact people and have an effect on our world, and have an impact on our world and actually change the way the way our world works. And then you also look at things from, I guess, my mind as a businesswoman over the years. That was built from young, like from, I always talk about this when people, like my dad taught me how to write contracts, and wow. And it's been such a pivotal part of our business right mm-hmm. now in terms of writing proposals and things like that. All of that kind of like nascent training that I was getting indirectly from my dad, and accounting training that I was getting from my mom, when she would buy a bunch of kettles and try and resell it to her nurse friends, and she'd get me to do the accounting and ask me, okay, what amount of profit do you think we should make from this?
Right.
You know, like, she's like, oh, yeah. I was going to speak Yoruba then. Does it make sense for us to sell it that way?
Right.
And I'm like, no, mom. Just in case that you can't, you know, you need to add a bit more profit there. Mm. So a lot of those experiences has actually taught me on how we actually price things today.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, and also my academic background, like the research that I'd done to validate the ideas that I had was really important. You know, and also talking to people in the community or to understand what it is that they want and what is it that they're actually looking for from an ecosystem like ours. It helped just build where we are right now, essentially. Talking to the team. I mean, now we're a team, a growing team of 16, I think. You know, so like, it, you know, talking to the team, getting feedback to make sure that what we're doing is building aligns with what's the ecosystem needs has been really important. And, you know, you learn the boring stuff along the way, like contracts, legals, and making sure that you tick the right boxes, putting time out for your finances. It's not boring. Some people might find it boring.
It's important.
It's very important.
Yeah.
Because you just get, you lose train, like, you lose track of, like, the health of the business if you don't really look at that. So I try to do it every Friday morning. To have sight of our, you know, of our finances, look at our cash flow, okay, look at the gaps and look at what is it that we need to do to continue to have that healthy cash flow.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Because I always say to people, it's always the boring stuff that people take for granted that's actually important, right? And especially when you think about building a business, like you mentioned, this is not a charity. And the point in which you were like, okay, let's actually make a business plan and let's actually build this as something that, you know, people are benefiting from, not just free stuff, but actually things that they also value. So how did you... From that point when you sort of decided this is not a charity, let's make this into a legit business, you know, talking about legals, contracts, reviewing the finances, pricing, all these different things, even growing a team, right? Because having a business of one is one thing. Deciding to bring other people into that is a different thing. And I knew that you have a co-founder as well. So how did you really think about setting up Neo for success in terms of making sure that you had the right foundation and then building on top of that?
I think it was actually understanding the vision that I had, first of all. And that vision was a vision that was not about me, really. It needed to outlive me, right? So automatically, when you realize it's not about you, you almost have a little bit of a healthy relationship with the business.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when founders struggle to hire people or struggle to have people on their teams because they're still too attached to the business and they've not removed it from themselves. So I understood that this business was not about me. And to be honest, this was not my plan A anyway. Like, so essentially, I'm trying to build things in that way. I think that we undermine the power of systems and processes. Having the right systems really does help in like the scaling journey and actually empowering your team to lead. That's my focus every time. If you speak to anyone in the team, I'm just, when they ask me, how can you help? We have a question during our stand-up meeting, how can you help me? Mm. And my answer always is, I need you to lead. So empowering them to lead, to take on their area of work as it's their own little business.
Mm-hmm.
Really important, because that's the way it can stay scalable and sustainable. Because if it's still much more reliant on one leader at the top, it's not sustainable. So yeah, that's my approach to things.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's more power when like there's multiple other powerful people in an ecosystem.
Definitely.
It's not just one powerful person. Yeah.
Definitely. And I love that, you know, in terms of giving responsibility and creating ownership. That's really important. So you're building Neo and you're building a business. And the business, of course, is a separate legal entity to the individual behind it. And so at what point did you maybe start to think about your own wealth strategy, right? Because I always say everyone talks about the glamorous part about entrepreneurship and talks, you know, maybe they see success stories at the end and they see people living their best lives, and you almost attribute that to your business is doing well, therefore you're doing well. But especially at the early starts, you know, this being your full-time job and growing something from scratch, how did you then start to think about, you know, building wealth for yourself or even just creating a life that you could have an abundance or be in a position where you could invest in yourself as well? Because it's very easy to just, you know, get carried away and put your head down and do and throw everything into a business. But at what point do you feel like maybe you started to separate it from yourself and think, okay, what do I actually want for my life? What are my other goals or income streams that I can start building for myself?
I think that a mindset of abundance is something that has been drilled in me and my siblings from my parents. Mm-hmm. So I've just never, I'm quite privileged, I guess, in this situation. I just never, ever thought in a million years that I was going to struggle. I have struggled financially multiple times, but I've never seen it as the end in itself. I think Steve Ballett actually had a similar...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, like, you know, even when he was living in Moss Side, you know, with, like, everything looking crappy,
yeah,
he just never thought that was his end. So I've just never thought about... And I think that plays a massive... We could talk about... Like, okay, what are the strategies I've started to think about? But I feel like the most important part is that has really contributed to how I view my personal wealth has been my mindset of abundance.
Mm.
You know, and that does not mean that I want to acquire all things by any means at one point, but actually abundance beyond the money itself, abundance in the wealth of ideas that I have, abundance in my impact, abundance also in money, just abundance full stop, right? And that then trickles down into, okay, cool, what does abundance look like? And then I begin to now say, okay, cool, from a young age I saved money, and I never knew what I was saving money for. I just knew that that was the culture that we had in my household, that you just save your money, don't spend it all. Mm-hmm. You get 100 naira, you're saving 100 naira. Unless you have a good reason why you're spending that 100 naira. Okay, if it's to buy sweets, okay, you have sweets at home.
Right.
So why are you spending 100 naira on sweets, okay? Mm. So it's almost kind of like you save as much as you can, and because you have all you need, right? You know, pretty much, like, so had this culture of saving from a young age, and I used to be like my friends when I was a teenager, I used to be deemed like the girl who had money, but we don't know where she's getting her money from. It was just because we had a culture of saving. And funny enough, Neo started by my money. And it wasn't because I was rich or my parents had millions of pounds sitting somewhere. No, it wasn't that. In fact, like, my school fees when I were in Nigeria was paid with very much a lot of hard work by my mm-hmm. parents. It wasn't like we had a bunch of money sitting anywhere. So I just had a discipline of knowing where to put my money and how to grow my money in the little knowledge that I had. So when year started and it needed cash injection, I mm-hmm. think I put a lot of my own personal money in it, with the like knowing that it was going to return at some point, right?
Yeah.
Bought my first car with my money, by myself and things like that. But obviously now all of that kind of like saving I saved over the years, now it's gone and it's actually turned to debt.
Right.
It's turned to debt in the business. But I just had a knowing that that was not my end though. Mm-hmm. Like it was just the beginning. It was a seed that I had to sow for the long term. So practically how I'm now trying to build my own personal wealth is through different means. First of all, I invest in crypto in different ways. I stake. So what that basically means is I stake. I get £50 and I put it into a staking platform and it stakes my money for me. And I'm actually looking to see how I can even find other, look at other more like platforms that I can build my own staking platform so it can stake even more money for me. I have a pension fund that I make sure that I put specific money aside every month for my salary. I have a money box savings account that doesn't... I used to think money box was like, you know, the best savings account because you get higher interest, but it's not because there's other, like, as I said, crypto helps.
Yeah.
To help you stake a lot more. I have a money box lifetime ISA because I want to buy a house mm-hmm. at some point, you know. And then also like recently exploring angel investment. I don't have like a ton of money, but just explore how I can explore this passion of really wanting to invest in businesses and see them succeed, but also make kind of like a return from it as well. So those are the different avenues of which I'm practically doing to build my wealth, essentially. Yeah.
That's amazing. And I love that you touched on, you know, the different practical things that you're doing, because I think it's very easy to see people doing certain things and you're like, hold on, you know, how does that work? So I'm really glad that you've touched on that. And I think one of the things I love the most about your story and your journey is the mindsets, which I'm such a believer in terms of how your mind plays a big role in your ability to dream, your ability to think about ideas, your ability to manage wealth, right? Because I've coached people who earn six figures who still have a mindset of poverty, so they're still living paycheck to paycheck, they're going into overdraft. I've coached people who learn 50k a year who you know, are doing really well financially, and you would think they had so much more money than they did. But for you specifically, you know, have you had distractions, or I guess, you know, this world is full of noise and there's so much that you can do with money, especially whilst you're building a business? Because for me, I know that it's very easy to throw everything that is anything into your business and be super intentional with just putting as much into it so that it can grow, so that you guys never run out of money to invest in your team, all these different type of things. So how have you managed those different distractions or of your money? Yes, but also even your time and your energy, because learning about putting money into crypto is one thing, but you also have to research. You have to make sure that you're investing in the right things. Being an angel investor is great, but you have to also do lots of due diligence when it comes to putting your money into helping other businesses grow. So how do you manage those sort of distractions around your money, your time, your energy?
I think that... praying. Sorry, I was gonna try and bring like a really, you know, super cool answer, but like I mean praying is super cool.
Yeah.
Praying, honestly, like, hi God, is this a distraction?
Me again.
And sometimes I enter into it, and then I'm like, actually, yeah, this is a distraction. Mm-hmm. So I wheel back, right? When I have prayed and I felt that God has highlighted to me that it is a distraction and I've gone ahead with it, it's always come back at a loss, you know, for the business and for me as well, right? So I've learned fully well to say, do you know what? This is a good opportunity, but let me step back a bit and let me think about it, you know, to see if this is the right thing to do. So that's kind of like how I've approached things. I feel like when it comes to crypto, you are right, it can get really distracting. And honestly, don't jump into any crypto. Crypto is a big umbrella term. Don't just jump into everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure that it's like, I think it's, I was going to say, like, let it not be about growing your money. Let it be about what is it that you're about? What's your purpose? And allow that to inform that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I'm on these staking platforms is because I really want to learn how to stake my money so that I can potentially build a product that can help people who may not have that much money to stake their money and see it grow, you know. And also understanding what my focus is right now. So right now for me, when it comes to money, my focus is actually buying a house. And being an entrepreneur and buying a house is really hard.
Yeah.
It is very hard. I mean, and it's not hard. People think, okay, it's hard because maybe you don't, because of, like, maybe some people don't turn over that much money. It's hard because the system doesn't trust entrepreneurs to give them more. So you have to prove, like, over, like, 3 years of, like, consistent profits, you know, that you can actually afford a mortgage and you're not going to, like, your business is not just going to close off. So, my focus right now is buying a house. So a lot of my saving, rather than my investing, is on my LISA right now. Very much. I used to be really pedantic about, 60% of my income is... I know that you're about this, Bookie, so please... Listeners, don't listen to me. Listen to Bookie still. Like 60% of my income, and I just thought, oh, it's so long. Like, I used to just think it's so long. I used to spreadsheet. You know, before Position Bright spreadsheet came out, I had my spreadsheet.
Same.
And I was thinking, fam, like I could have sold. I got so annoyed at my friends and people who I knew who went to Patricia Bright to buy £1 spreadsheet.
Because I had that. You know, I'm gonna give you for free. I'm gonna charge £1 and be selling it to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that came.
Right? I was thinking, guys, I have this, and I've been talking about this, and I've given this spreadsheet to so many people. So you guys went to pay £1. I mean, £1 is nothing. I think Richard Bright, get your coin list because you're smart. You know.
Yeah.
But I think I used to do the spreadsheet game. Mm. You know, it was great when I was at uni. I was super. But, like, my life right now, I don't even have time to even finish the spreadsheets that's going to make me money for a lot of time. So the way I do it is, like, okay, cool, I have a goal of how much I need to save for a house, of what I'm trying to look for, and I just make sure that each month I take out a specific amount towards that goal. I don't do the 60% thing, unfortunately, or, like, the split. I just don't... I mean,
I always say, like, you have to do what works for you, right? Because even me, I still go through periods where I have a love-hate relationship with the specific percentage and all of that. And when I was trying to buy a property, part of it was, like, super disciplined. And then at some point, I was like, I can't do this anymore. So for me, I just started thinking, like, okay, how else can I make more money, right? Because I don't want to be worrying about, oh, you know, I have the savings. I have other things I want to do with my money. I have other dreams and goals. So for me, it's thinking about how can I just make the amount of money that I need to have for this to become a reality. But for you with Neo, I know that it started with, like, beauty and hair and then kind of moved into tech. And so was that... maybe in itself a strategy for growing the business or increasing the distribution network, diversifying the different ways to build it even bigger? Or what was your thought process behind that?
One of my uni's lecturers used to always say something to me when I used to get discouraged. She said, don't throw away something until you get to the end of it. I knew that it wasn't just about hair even back then, but I couldn't articulate it.
Right.
I wanted to build an ecosystem where Black women were produced, and I still want to do that today. And that's what we're building. We're not building a bootcamp business. We're not building a hair business. We're building an ecosystem where Black women are producers of high impact industries. And that could look like hair, that could look like tech, and that could look like different sectors that we're in. I didn't actually go into tech selfishly. I went into tech because I wanted to help people, and because I had listened to the community, essentially, in terms of like, okay, what does economic empowerment look like? Okay, I want to be upskilled. I want to learn how to code. And we're like, okay, cool. Let me call like the people I know how to code Black females. I called Charlene. I was introduced by my business coach, and they ran like a coding class at one of the Beyond Hair events that we used to run.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started a partnership. And then since then, we've just run multiple boot camps. Now we're building a decentralized app. So it's a blockchain app for fashion, beauty, and hair enthusiasts who want to make money from their fashion, beauty, and hair pictures and produce products outside of it. So we're building that. So it wasn't a selfish strategy, funny enough. I wish it was, but it wasn't.
No, it's interesting. And of course, there are challenges in building things, right? Or pivoting a business, or just even doing anything apart from what you maybe know at the time. So what were maybe some of those challenges that you had? You know, entering into a new space is always an interesting dynamic, especially when you're a Black woman, or even building for Black women. And there's so many different aspects to that, but what would maybe your key challenges in building Neo and taking it to these different sectors, and then how have you overcome them, or what tips would you share to someone who's maybe going through it right now?
Okay, because the dream of Neo was like this ecosystem dream of not necessarily one thing,
mm-hmm.
it confused a lot of people, you know, about what is it that we're actually trying to do.
Right.
People when people interacted with Neo, right, they were like, oh my gosh, I don't know, there's just something different. And they feel it, but they couldn't pinpoint it. So we had troubles with when it came to like people knowing what we did. And so we had to now separate things. So now we now have a problem of everyone calls us Neo Network because they identify that with like the most, the tech bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then the people people forget that actually we have a hair and beauty e-commerce business. And you know, we're building a dApp, so this journey has helped us like to scale back our like what is it that we say that we do, and mm-hmm. now actually going back to rebranding as well to kind of now share what the big vision is and to articulate it a lot better. I think the problem was the articulation, and also aside from the articulation piece, when we were still trying to focus on the hair and beauty tech, it was actually we were trying to build a hair and beauty tech platform because I started to grow my clientele at university. That's how I met Lau Lu.
Okay.
Who's our CEO, right? Like, I started to grow my... And I was like, wait. And I've always talked about... I had a friend called Yemisi at uni, right? And myself and Yemisi talk a lot about sustainability. Like, and I used to ask myself, you're doing all this 200 women's hair. It's not sustainable.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. Let's get somebody else involved. And so I wanted to now build an Uber for hair, and that didn't work because this hair and beauty industry doesn't work like that. They don't respond well to that kind of stuff. And I used to do a lot of pitching, and I will have like some investors tell me, so basically you're trying to build an Uber where you can get dreadlocks. And I was like, no, I'm trying to build an Uber where Black women can get their hair done anytime they want at the comfort of their own home. And it was just really hard. Honestly, it was very difficult because people just didn't understand the solution.
Mm.
And the people that understood the solution did not buy into the solution. So we had to quickly pivot. And actually, like the struggle of finding who to build the solution also got us here as well. So yeah, that's the journey.
Wow. So you're pitching at this point, you're pitching Neo as an ecosystem. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. And how How did you think about fundraising at that time? Because a key part of any business, scaling a business or getting to a point where you can start to hire people is in itself challenging. But how did you then manage, you know, fundraising, or like you mentioned, articulating the vision and getting buy-ins, either from pitching directly to investors, or even, I know you guys won, you know, have won lots of different awards and grants and things like that. So how did that all work?
Okay, so we got zero money from pitching anyway, so that didn't work. Even though people were like, oh my gosh, you were like I'll get some pitch events, and be like, you have the best pitch. I've not had investment like till today. We just bootstrapped our way through, and we just wrote contracts our way through, and we've won contracts rather than, yeah, you know. And I didn't think that this was the path that I was gonna go, but it ended up being. I just feel like, honestly, like it was just all planned out. And I just kind of, like, even the way we applied for our first major contract or grant, you know, was really interesting, because I had gone to pitch at a massive pitch event in the NEC in Birmingham. And there was a man who took my name down and my email down from the pitch event. Because obviously you put your email, say, if you have any way to contact me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just signed me up to his newsletter. I just thought, what, how, you know. Then one day, this strange man just emailed me and said, hey, Oyin, I think you're doing amazing things. I saw this piece of funding and I thought about you. You should apply. And I thought, I don't know you. Like, I keep getting these emails. Never met this person before. But apparently, he had seen me and he had met me. So I applied and we won it. And we, apparently, were one of the best. And, you know, that was like a first major win.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first, that was like obviously in like the tech space. So it's all happened just miraculously.
And do you feel like after that first one, you know, you then started to roll like dominoes, as it were?
Roll like dominoes. Yes. In fact, we've had people ask us to come buy the business as well. It's funny. I always find it funny.
Wow.
You know, so yeah, it's almost had a multiplier effect, which I find sad, right? Because you go through so long of tilling and tilling and tilling and you find nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow after you till the first thing, everything happens straight after the other. And I find that quite sad for people who have been struggling and trying for a long time, you know, because it's quite discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to go through that journey too. And we're now like privileged to be able to kind of like have that rolling through, because you just build the, like, what's funny is that these people who you win contracts with don't come above to go and find new people to work with. So they just, if you're good and you get the results that they want you to get,
they keep you on
coming back to you. So this whole thing about money is about relationships, which I find again quite sad, because it's kind of like some of us don't have the right relationships to enable our success. Yeah. And that's, again, one of the things that NEO is really trying to facilitate. So we would send people to go to hackathons across the world so that they can build the right relationships with people who they would never have dreamed to build a right relationship with. You could literally, you know, win a scholarship to go to a hackathon in Miami, and you win the you meet the co-founder of Ethereum just there, and you can stop him to chat with him. Like, that is awesome. And so we just want to be able to facilitate that for people. Because we didn't get that for ourselves.
No, that's incredible. And you're right. You know, relationships is the bedrock of success. Mm-hmm. And is the bedrock, mm-hmm, in which a lot of people get to build things. But I guess a big part of your relationship building is also your personal brand. So I want to talk a little bit about that.
Oh, really? Okay.
I guess that's not even something you may even consider, as maybe even just in terms of how you think about building wealth. But part of what you've done or what you do at the moment is also being a scout. And like you mentioned, having these different relationships, and you've also talked about mentors. And for me, when I look at that, I think you've built a phenomenal personal brand, consciously or unconsciously, because being the face of a business is one thing. And I know some people don't like to be the face of their business for various different reasons. They're shy, they're not a people person, whatever. But you've chosen to, you know, do that and do it really well. So I guess how, if it's not something you've thought about before, how have you, been doing it? You know, because building relationship has to do with putting yourself out there and being a people person and being, you know, going to the right events, having the boldness to talk to people, to pitch, you know, unashamedly about yourself, about what you're trying to do. So how do you do that?
I wake up in the morning and I reflect and I think, oh, that's a good thing to share to somebody that may need it. I just do that. Sorry. So, but it's okay. Jokes aside, you know, it's interesting because I've never woken up one day and thought, I'm going to build a personal brand. I've never thought about it that way. But I've heard this feedback from other people, but I never believed them because I just thought, you're just trying to say it to make me feel good. But it's good to hear it without even me being having a conversation. And so I've decided, you know what, I'm going to take this a lot more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like sharing more about like how the secrets and all of that is really important. But honestly, the way I've done it is by really caring about something and just sharing it, and just from my soul, literally. That's kind of how it's happened. So I guess my advice to somebody out there is, someone said to me once, I think when people started talking to me about like taking my personal brand seriously, or, you know, they gave me compliments about the personal brand, right? I've gone to like image consultants, you know, and I've said, oh, you know, like, how do you build a personal brand out? And like, now you're saying this, I'm just like, oh, I don't need no image consultant, just keep doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So I went to an image consultant who's quite, you know, popular in Nigeria, and, you know, who can get me. And she's like, well, you know, like, she said something quite profound. She's like, well, one thing about your personal brand is that you just have to be yourself, because people will see through that.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, and I was like, cool, that's cool. And she's like, well, I can get you pictures with people that you probably have pictures with anyway. Just build your personal brand and just continue to be yourself. So my advice to anyone out there who's trying to build a personal brand is, don't try to build a personal brand, just be yourself.
I love that.
Share yourself with people in the way you want to be, you know, you feel comfortable with. I think I'm just genuinely passionate about things that I do, and I want to share it. So
yeah, and it's definitely come across, you know. And I think if anyone meets you and or finds your Instagram channel, for example, that's mm-hmm. something that is very easy to see. And authenticity is super important in maintaining relationships or building relationships. So I completely agree. I want to talk a little bit about balancing investing for your future versus enjoying the fruits of your labor, right? Because Neo's been going on for a couple of years, which is incredible. And then now you're talking about buying a property as well. But I also know that you got a Tesla, which is my dream car.
You're gonna get a Tesla soon. Watch. So I'm gonna do some videos on how to get a Tesla. People think it's too expensive, but it's actually
I need to know. You know, because someone to see that and be like, oh my god, you must be raking in, you know, a really huge sum of money. But I really want to understand, and I read your caption around, I guess, that thought process in buying it as well, and for some people to maybe see that as, okay, Oni has achieved so much to the point where she's able to buy a Tesla, but they don't know that you're like, I'm saving my coins to also buy a property. So let's talk about how you think about that, balancing enjoying the fruits of your labor, but also investing in your future with, you know, with the business, with you putting money aside for buying a property long term, doing different things, investing in NFTs, all of those things, right? So yeah, how do you balance it?
Yeah, so therapy made me buy Tesla. I used to just believe in just paying yourself last, you know, just be the broke one. Therapy taught me to buy myself a Tesla, because I've worked hard, not just like not just one, like, it's not been a 1 year thing. This is something that has been boiling me for years, and I've allowed it to evolve through many different channels.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that you can save all you want, but if you don't get to enjoy it, then what's the point, right? You know, so it's just really being important about being wise and understanding the timing of when you can splurge. I got a Tesla as well because it made business sense as well. It made business sense. It helped save us tax in the company, and that was my, like, you know, like, after paying a lot of tax last year, I thought, I'm not going to be doing this again. So what's the ways? And so, I it's essentially kind of like, that's how, that's one of the reasons.
Mm.
And I really love Teslas because of, you know, like, I've got like a really, I'm passionate about being good stewards of our planet. And yeah. I love the fact that it's an electric car. I don't spend that much money on it. Like, I went to London today, for example. I spent zero money to charge a car. Well, no, not zero. I paid £15 to get into the car park that a petrol car would have to pay anyway to charge the car. But, like, you know, that's quite desirable right now. So yes, enjoy yourself, but also make it make business sense.
So is that... I love the fact that you said it's saving you tax, and it's saving, like, it's actually business. You know, you actually had to think about it for the business. That's amazing. But personally, how do you, even just on a day-to-day basis, think about, should I buy this for myself? You know, should I treat myself? Or is this money that I could be putting towards something else that you're interested in?
I'm quite bad with perfumes recently. I'm probably not the best. Why did you ask me to come on this podcast again? okay. So I think the way I just see it is, look, I already know I need to save my X amount of money every month towards my house, towards my pension, towards investments. And I just now say, okay, cool. Then I have extra to play with. Pay my tithe as well. Mm-hmm. And I automate that, you know. And I now say, okay, I have X amount of money left to play with. And to be honest with you, I don't actually spend that much. Because I genuinely don't even have time. When I spend money, spending money on Oud, which is not even that expensive if you go to the right places. And takeaway is really bad. Like, I don't do a lot of calculation of what to spend my money on.
Yeah.
Or like, when I go to Nigeria, for example, I really love Nigerian fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Love Nigerian fashion. So, like, I think I maybe, like, subconsciously save my money for when I go to Nigerian fashion, because you can literally get, like, so many items for, like, what you would normally get for a lot here.
Yeah.
So you could say that's not good for consumerism and all this consumer culture, but unfortunately, I'm part of the people who's taking part in consumer culture for the good of the small design
of the nation.
I'm so sorry. I'm trying to look for a good answer, but I genuinely think that's my answer.
I think it's real, and I think it's good to know, because I've met people who, I think similar to you, they're like, I don't really spend money on a lot of things. I don't actually spend money personally on a lot of things. Mm. I think where I spend the most money on is traveling. And once I bought a property and I wasn't saving as much, it was really hard for me to be like, okay, so, like, now what? Like, you know, what else is there to do with money? And I'm thinking of the ways in which to make the most of my money long term, but also enjoy the fruits of my labor today, because that's super important. So that definitely keeps me motivated. In terms of motivation for you, what are the things that you are looking forward to maybe over the next couple of years, personally, professionally? What would you love to achieve?
Personally, I want to be a digital nomad, and I want to go to, like, I mean, this could change, because tomorrow is not, like, you know, I just want to be able to, like, be like, oh yeah, like, I want to have somewhere to just live that inspires me in different countries. Mm. I just love the idea of that. But somehow find a way that when I'm not in that country, how can that house make money? So I don't know. And like, I don't know how possible that is, but we'll see. So that's my, like, my personal preference. I would love my kids to just, you know, want to build their own little cool things from a young age, you know, be creative. I don't have kids, by the way, right now, but in the future, that would be something I want my kids to do. From a professional point of view, I have a dream of building lots of brands within the Neo ecosystem and exiting and then giving the power to somebody else. So for example, Neo Network, I literally say this to the team all the time. I have a goal to leave Neo Network in 2-3 years and then passing on the baton to another managing director who can run it, you know, and then continue to build multiple brands until I don't have enough energy to do, or I run out of like cool ideas of doing those things. So yeah.
Amazing. Cool. Well, as we start to wrap up, you talked about so many different things, which I just absolutely love. And I like that your hand is like in a couple of different things as well. So if people are listening to this podcast who are in their 20s and they're maybe working for themselves or even in a corporate job, and they're thinking like, man, I really do want to set myself up financially so that I'm not struggling, or I'm not even having to think about money. And for a lot of people, myself included, money is not the end, right? It's a means to an end. It's the way that you pass through. It's the means that you pass through to get to the things that actually matter to you. So what would you say to someone else who's in their 20s, who's thinking about, you know, how do I really think about building wealth for myself, either having a defined strategy or just maybe being disciplined in their finances or thinking bigger than themselves in a way that, you know, in 10, 15, 20 years, they'll be really proud of?
Okay, maybe start with a spreadsheet.
Go back to the spreadsheet.
Start with the spreadsheet. If you're bad with money, go and get yourself a spreadsheet. I'm sure Bookie has a spreadsheet. Go to Bookie. She'll give you a spreadsheet.
And it's free. It's free.
Exactly. Don't pay a pound, please. Especially if you're struggling to manage your money, paying another extra pound on a spreadsheet that you can get for free. Why? So, yeah, genuinely, start with a spreadsheet. You really start to kind of like look at your habits. I probably need to go to the spreadsheet soon anyway, just to look at my history of buying, of spending and saving and investing and seeing what it's just take stock. But just look at your habits, and naturally people are like, what you now need to do is step two. I actually think look at those habits and ask yourself, why do I have those habits, spending habits? And do a little bit of soul digging and then address those things. And what you find actually sustainably in the long run, you will see that there will be a change once you actually start to identify why you make those spending habits. So for example, if you notice, I raise my hand and I say, I probably spent too much money on takeaway. That's probably because I don't have much energy by the time I get home. So actually, I need to reserve some of my energy to cook uncooked meals, you know, and that's not something to do with money. That's something to do with my habits. And actually, if I have the right habits, I probably would have more money in my bank account by the end of the month, you know, because that takeaway is like 20-30 pounds. Oh my God, this is so bad. I could spend that money on a week's shop or food, you know? So that's kind of like how I see it. So that's the first thing I would say. Okay, as much as, you know, we say, okay, look at your habits, sometimes as well, the problem is not even the habit. Sometimes it's actually that you don't have enough money. Mm-hmm. You need to make more money. So I want to bring balance to this making more money thing, because I feel like, okay, people now say, okay, you need to make money. Now look at what you know, now go and get 7 streams of income, and people make it seem like it happens overnight. But actually look at yourself and say, right, how do I make much money? What are the skills do I have? What am I slacking in, and what do I need to develop to make sure that I make myself a lot more valuable to the people that need my service and need the skills that I have, and work on those things and actually invest in those things rather than investing in like crypto that may seem to make you money quickly, now actually invest in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because then when you invest, because literally the reason why I'm here is because I've actually spent a lot of time investing in myself. Whether, even if you do, and if you don't have money, like, are you reading books? Are you listening to podcasts like this podcast to really invest in yourself? And then watch yourself grow, and then make sure that you apply for those kind of roles that would really kind of align with that. And especially for women, and this is something I've noticed, really be confident in what you bring to the table.
Say it again.
Be confident, honestly, be confident about it. And not just be confident, but also bring your receipts and proof why, you know. Because I feel like men do that so much better than... And I used to get so bored when people used to say this. But then now I'm an employer and I see the stark difference. Confidence plays a massive role. It's your confidence is your greatest moneymaker. You know, because it translates into how you deliver.
Yeah, how you present yourself.
Exactly, and how you present yourself, right? So, yeah, like, be confident with what you bring to the table and let it show in your work as well, right? Because that's the only way where you can actually build a sustainable income, when your confidence shows in your work. So, yeah, that's my advice. I hope it helps someone.
No, I think it will. I absolutely love it. And I definitely couldn't agree more. As we come into the end of the podcast, I mean, thank you so much for all the nuggets, all the wisdom. I know you've just been going about minding your business, not thinking that anybody's taking notes, but we're out here, you know, taking notes. So it's been really, really great to speak to you. I want to leave everyone with all the amazing work that you're doing with NEO. So please tell us where we can find out more about NEO, get involved as well, sign up to upskill ourselves. You know, people who are always asking me, how do I get into tech and how do I, you know, make more money? You know, Oyin has a platform where she's literally helping you do that. So please plug all the things that we need to know.
Lovely. Okay, so first of all, you can follow me on Instagram, oyinadebayo_. Oyinkosola Adebayo on LinkedIn and Oyin_ on Twitter. I'm trying to be on Twitter more because that's where it's important to be in right now, right?
Yeah.
If you want to find out more about what we do at NEO, so as I said, NEO exists to build an ecosystem of Black women to produce in high impact industries. So what that high impact means also means that you have high impact money to run boot camps, and we actually support you to get a job in various companies like Goldman Sachs, like KPMG, and like startups as well. So one of the bootcamp, the bootcamp is under the NEO Network brand. So if you go on neonetwork.com, so that's NIYO network.com, you see various bootcamps on there so that you can upskill. We want people who are really passionate about technology and what it can do for them, and who are really are willing to bring the right attitude to the table. We're also building a DApp, so it's a decentralized app, basically to reward creators in the beauty, fashion, and hair space for their creations. So turning your Instagram pictures, your Pinterest videos into NFTs, and then get your users getting those NFTs as products. So we're excited to bring that economic empowerment truly to the beauty space too. And then lastly, we have an e-commerce platform that just allows you to buy hair products and equipment and extensions to promote healthy hair. So yeah, those are the things that we're building, and all of that is all encompassing to essentially make you feel empowered and for you to be empowered as well.
I love it. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you for everything that you're doing within the community, for the community as well. We absolutely love to see it. So thank you again. Guys, definitely make sure you check out Oyin. I will put all the links in the description so you can hit the follow button, like, all of that good stuff. If you love what you've heard today, make sure you go and tell Oyin that you did, you know, put this on your story and tag us and,
yes.
And you know, tag NEO, tag Oyin, tag myself. And let us know what you took from this episode. It has been great speaking to you, Oyin, and I will speak to you guys later in the next podcast. Thank you.